Today is the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough as you really are without leaven. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival. Not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. First of all, we would like to all express our best wishes and prayers to all of you. I say this on behalf of our Father Superior, all the priests, the brothers, and the sisters, that you may profit to the greatest degree from all the benefits God is giving you at this very moment, at this Mass. Many of you, because of whatever circumstances, were unable to come to the beautiful Easter Vigil ceremony and the Midnight Mass. It is really, in a way, for Christians, Catholics of today, heroic, because the ceremony from start to finish is about 4 hours. So coming to that is a commitment. Today's Mass is the crown of what happened last night, and really of the whole liturgical year. This Mass is the greatest of all feasts. And why is that? Because we relive, we commemorate, we make present by this Mass the event of 2,000 years ago, historical, real event that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, after he had been crucified by his enemies on Good Friday, rose glorious and immortal, with a real, true body, rose from the dead on this day. It is the central doctrine of the whole Catholic Church. Yes, the dogma of the Holy Trinity, that there are three persons and one God, is a sublime mystery. and the incarnation of our Lord, that he became man. So he's both God and man. A very great truth, central to our faith. But this day sums up the very reason why our Lord came as a redeemer, became a man, to save us. He is our Savior. We want to read a couple of the passages, prayers from last night, because we feel that many of you have never heard these because you haven't come to the Easter Vigil. For some of you, it's impossible because of circumstances. Now we have right here this beautiful Paschal candle, which represents Jesus Christ. As you know, he's called the light of the world. And last night, outside, the priest blessed the new fire that has begun with flint, so it is complete darkness. The fire is made, is blessed and incensed, and then the priest takes these white nails, symbolizing the wounds of Christ on his head, his hands, and feet. And he, with a taper given to him by the master of ceremonies, he heats the nail and then impregnates it into the cross on this candle, as you can see. And then the year that we are presently living in is inscribed on that candle, the year 2012. So the cross is the mark, the label, the sign on this candle, and it shows the cross dominates, contains, rules time and the universe. Here's what the priest said, our Father Superior, last night, as those nails are being imposed, and just before that, when he inscribes the candle with a gold stylet on the letters that are on this candle, the Alpha and Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, as we know that symbolizes our Lord, because he's the beginning and the end. Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, to him belong time and the ages. To him be glory and empire throughout all the ages of eternity. Amen. Through his holy wounds, glorious, may he guard and protect us, Christ our Lord. And these prayers are said still while everything is in the darkness except for that holy, blessed fire. And then the priest lights the candle from that blessed fire and processes in the darkness into the church. And he holds up the Paschal candle in the darkness of this chapel and says, chants, Lumen Christi, light of Christ. And he holds up the candle and everyone genuflects and says, Deo gratias, thanks be to God. And then after that, the beautiful, the most exquisite chants of the church, the Exultet, the hymn of praise given to God. Just a few words from it. Let the angelic choirs of heaven now rejoice. Let the divine mysteries give praise. And let the trumpet of salvation sound forth the victory of so great a king. Let the earth also rejoice, made radiant by such splendor. and enlightened with the brightness of the eternal King. Let it know that the darkness of the whole world is scattered. Let our Mother, the Church, also rejoice, adorned with the brightness of so great a light. And let this temple resound with the loud acclamations of the people. The ceremony continues with lessons from the Old Testament. And then the making the blessing of the baptismal water, all those ceremonies are done here. Easter water, baptismal water. Then it's placed into the font in the baptistry in the back. And then what does Holy Mother of the Church do? The priest and all the servers come here, and the priest, who is veiled in violet, the kopi, he's wearing the last vestiges of penance that we have been, all of us, been clothed in during this season of Lent. And incidentally, that very cope that Father wore is the same one that was used on Ash Wednesday, the way the season began, that beautiful vestment. And he removes it and puts on a beautiful gold and white cope, and the faithful renew their baptismal promises, reconsecrating ourselves to our Lord, renewing what was done by everyone here who has been baptized, whether we were infants and our godparents answered for us, or whether we just were baptized a few weeks ago and answered for ourselves. We say we belong to our Lord. We reject, renounce the devil and all his allurements. And we promise, we make that promise. And in the midst of that, everyone is sprinkled with baptismal water, Easter water, and then the rest of the ceremony is the midnight mass. The reason we wanted to speak about it this year, different from when we've spoken in the past, is because we don't appreciate the beautiful gift our Holy Mother, the Church, has given us, not only in our faith, but by giving us, first of all, this season of Lent, 40 days to, so to speak, regroup, to take stock of what we've been doing our whole lives, to make promises and resolutions to overcome and get rid of the evil and the sins in our lives. But then it is all summed up by the holiest of days, Holy Week, and then the Sacred Triduum, which means the three holy days. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, with the Easter Vigil. So really, this Mass on Easter Sunday is just a continuation of what began last night. And in fact, that's how the early Christians considered it. It was, in much more fervent times, a holy day of obligation, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, all the way through Low Sunday. Everybody went to church and had to go under pain of serious sin to go every day to those ceremonies. And now look what we've come to. We're like at the bare minimum in these days. But we have, as I said, been given a gift that in a real way we can say those who assist at the ceremonies of Holy Week in the last few days and today, it is a sign that there's a very good chance we can get to heaven. Because the whole year, the whole liturgical year, is surrounds these days. So after we leave this chapel, after this Mass, we've been given all the assistance, all the graces to face the world. First of all, to face ourselves. Face our enemies, both within and without. Now, why did our Lord choose to become a redeemer in this way? As we know, it all comes from his Sacred Heart. His love is so great that, united, of course, with his Father and the Holy Spirit, to save these poor souls, the Son of God became a man, lived on earth, really lived. None of the phony myths of the modern media and enemies. Talk about conspiracy theories. They are always conspiring against our Lord and the church. Just as they did when they put him to death. But it's all according to God's plan. Because he suffered and died, and it is a victory over sin and death. That's what this feast is, his resurrection. He did all the work. He won everything for us. But there is a big however. We have to do our part. We are not meant to be passive observers going along for the ride. Being saved is only through the grace of God, but we have to desire it. And we have to perform good works. That is our Catholic faith. And what better work than coming to this Mass? And for some of you who were at the beautiful ceremony last night, it is just a mere break in the action, and you come back and continue the great feast that is right now going on in heaven. The final point we want to make, as we've said in past sermons, but most of all today, we should have a great feeling, a great desire to say thank you to Jesus Christ for having mercy on his poor people, for going to such great lengths to save us. We just don't appreciate it. The saints do. And that is why they would do anything to participate and to be part of Holy Week and these holy days. And for those of you who came just today, no reason to lose hope, because all of those actual graces are locked up in that tabernacle. Yes, there's a key, and there's a lock on it to keep safe the body and blood of Jesus Christ. When you receive Holy Communion from the priest, you can say, "Dear Jesus, maybe I didn't do the best during this season of Lent, but in these final moments, and on this greatest of liturgical days, increase my faith. Give me hope. Give me a great desire to love you with my whole heart and soul and mind and strength." And if you have that, you can get what you missed out on. For whatever reason, whether it's circumstances or through indifference. Because look at the beautiful, and this is the last point we'll make, the beautiful gift of mercy that our Lord extended to that greatest of sinners, St. Mary Magdalene. Very immoral woman, possessed of seven devils, because she had a great love for Jesus, she was converted, and she had sorrow, and she wept for her sins. And so he gave her an unbelievable gift, that after he rose from the dead, he appeared, even though it's not recorded in Scripture, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And who can imagine the words spoken by both of them at that moment? But after the Mother of God, he came to this, we can call her a sinner saint, one of the greatest conversions in history, and appeared to St. Mary Magdalene alone. And he will do that for us. You can make that your prayer when you receive Holy Communion, not only today, but in all of the successive days of this octave of Easter, which just prolong this greatest of all feasts, the resurrection of our Lord. In fact, the octave of Easter, it was the only octave in the church until the 8th century, showing how great this feast is. So again, we want to wish you a happy Easter, and we pray that this Mass, this Holy Week, and the whole 40 days of Lent will be for you a great means of conversion, desire for salvation, and ultimately your reward in heaven. May God bless you.